the Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
Hot, fire!
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Fire. Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why, Vinny? Who's better than Vinny?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin. It can only be
Jerry. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning! Happy Friday! We made it, everybody!
Barely.
Together!
Barely.
So, as we stagger to the finish line of another long, eventful week in the Valley, I hope the Diamondbacks are very well rested for their weekend series, because we need our baseball team to get right. We really need our baseball team to get right.
Do it for us, D-backs.
For us! Do it for us!
Now, we had a sort of a full week of reacting to the Suns' exit. Now we're officially entering like these summer months where all there is baseball.
No, I think we're going to be talking about the Suns for quite some time.
Oh, no,
time,
I know. But as of
live, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Live games and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it would be nice if they started to play like the defending National League champions.
Yeah, I am. Sign me up for that, right? Now, they've had a lot of bad breaks. We've chronicled it. We've talked about it. But we need a healthy diversion, is what we, especially in the summertime. So... there you go.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's been, and we're going to chronicle some of it, the weirdness of this season already, and 32 games into it.
Uh-huh.
130 to go.
Yeah. They'll be gone before you know it, Vinny. Just like our lives. Gone before you knew it. All right, anything else going on? Anybody got anything? No?
I... did pulled a little some weeds in my front yard.
You pulled some weeds?
The other day, I do it often because my front yard, anytime it, remember I had a burst of rain like over the weekend
out
of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that happens, 2 days later, the weeds go crazy. Anyway, so I pull the weeds and then I have this weed killer, but my wife is very environmentally conscious, so we can't use any of those weed killers that, you know, cause cancer and this, that, and the other. So we have to use all organic, which is wonderful. Oh, it's fantastic.
Probably except, doesn't work either.
except it works about as good as...
right.
And it makes the entire front yard smell like, you know, Paul Newman's salad dressing.
Oh.
Because it's all just... all it is like vinegar and salt and like... anyway.
Yeah. You can go too far with that organic stuff. Like, because if you get organic toothpaste, sometimes you need the chemicals.
I put the
chemicals in me. Absolutely.
I understand wanting to be safe and being environmentally conscious. But, you know, sometimes the trade-off, a little cancer for...
for
a nice clean yard.
For a nice clean yard.
Little cancer.
No.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so if anybody knows of a good organic weed killer, let me know.
Taking suggestions.
Hit me up.
Another product where it's good to have the chemicals in you.
Uh-huh.
I might cause a stir here.
Uh-oh.
Deodorant.
Oh. Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. There's. I think there's a lot of examples of that because, you know, I think we've all been through phases where you tried a bunch of different things that are organic and you're like, this.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's chemicals in this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, and I may be speaking out of school. I might not be the best authority to speak on the organic thing because, mm-hmm. in my mind, the only difference between organic bananas and regular bananas is that the organic bananas have a plastic thing around them.
And they die faster.
They turn brown
and they're more expensive.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And away we go on a Friday. Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Any ball. Any ball coming. Any ball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
D-backs back at it tonight after what seems to be a needed day off at home after losing 2 of 3 to Chase Field of the Dodgers. Tonight it's the San Diego Padres in town for their first of 2 visits to Phoenix this year. It'll be right-hander Slade Ciccone on the mound for Arizona against Dylan Cease of the Padres. They come in one game ahead of the D-backs in the National League West standings. First pitch is at 6:40. Pre-game coverage gets rolling at 6 o'clock on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. D-backs also made a trade yesterday. They acquire right-hander Matt Bowman from the Minnesota Twins for cash considerations. Bowman is 32 years old, had a 2.35 ERA and 5 appearances with the Twins this season. He's also got major league experience with the Cardinals, Reds, and Yankees. The bigger move yesterday, with all due respect to Matt Bowman, Merrill Kelly shifted to the 60-day injured list, which is not a shock based on everything that's been said about his injury and the timetable. They also optioned left-hander Blake Walston to AAA Reno. I didn't check to see if the Aces are still in Vegas and maybe he can get back to the table, but they got tables in Reno, too.
They sure do.
It's the biggest little city in America.
That's
don't
right.
You?
Yeah, it is.
Last night in the NBA playoffs, two teams in the East sent packing. The Indiana Pacers beat the Milwaukee Bucks 120-98 in Game 6 of that best-of-7 series. Obi Toppin led a balanced Indiana attack with 22 points off the bench. T.J. McConnell added 20 to go along with 9 assists and 4 steals. You know, he's a point guard, Vic.
Wow. How about it?
The Pacers will move on to the conference semifinals for the first time in 10 years. They'll face the New York Knicks, who squeaked past Philadelphia 118-115. Josh Hart hit a huge three-pointer with 25 seconds left to break a 111 all tie. Buddy Hield's desperation three at the buzzer missed. The Knicks move on. Jalen Brunson had 41. And, man, let's starting at the top, that series was everything anybody could have expected and more. Is it hyperbole to say it's the best six-game series in the history of the NBA?
I don't know.
Best first-round series in the history of the NBA? It was fantastic basketball.
No, I agree with you. Every game was very, very compelling. Yeah. There was a lot of will and desire. There was a lot of fight on each side. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating. And this was not a good display for Philly as a sports town. We might get into this later.
Yeah,
Philly as a sports town has taken a hit.
It has. Tonight, a couple more teams facing elimination. First, it's the Orlando Magic down 3-2 hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Home teams have won each of the first 5 games of this series. That gets underway at 4 o'clock on ESPN. Then it's Game 6 in Dallas between the Mavericks and the LA Clippers. Dallas trying to finish that series after a 30-point road win in Game 5. Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out for the Clippers. Evergreen statement. 6:30 tip-off on ESPN. More NFL teams declining fifth-year options on 2021 rookies. The Pittsburgh Steelers not picking up the fifth-year option on running back Najee Harris's contract for 2025, despite 3 1,000-yard seasons with Pittsburgh. In fact, Harris's rushing total of 3,269 yards since he came into the league is the fourth best in the NFL, behind only Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, and Josh Jacobs.
Ow.
If there's not a statement of, hey, you are disposable as a running back, I don't know what
that
is.
That would be a statement, yep. Yep.
Titans are not picking up the option on cornerback Caleb Farley. Packers doing the same with cornerback Eric Stokes' option. The Indianapolis Colts are picking up the option on edge rusher Quiddy Pay. Has 18.5 sacks over his first 3 years in the league. Former Arizona State wide receiver Elijah Badger, who entered the transfer portal last month, is reportedly taking visits to Florida and Arizona. Badger caught 65. He should go to Wisconsin, really. Caught 65 passes for 713 yards and 3 touchdowns in 11 games last year, which might not seem all that impressive, but consider the quarterback play the Sun Devils had. Some of the worst production from the quarterback position in the entire nation. I don't think we're going to get into this in a second.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the show, so can I pontificate for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I don't blame Elijah Badger for entering the transfer portal. If he ends up at Arizona, I can't blame him. Will it hurt to see a Sun Devil become a Wildcat? I mean, ASU got a transfer from Arizona earlier in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another thing to hate about the current landscape of college football. College sports. Is there anything good about it right now?
It looks like the NCAA is coming to the end of that antitrust settlement that people think will open the door to a standard way to pay athletes.
They need
that
quick.
Day can't get here fast enough.
ASU did pick up a transfer. Defensive lineman Zach Swanson is heading to Tempe from the University of Texas. He played his high school ball at Brophy College Prep and was rated as the 6th best recruit in Arizona in the class of 2022. And the rare college volleyball note. GCU men's volleyball lost to Long Beach State in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament in Long Beach, 3-2. So it's Long Beach State moving on to face UCLA in the Totally SoCal championship game on Saturday, man. I did, so I got a buddy who's got a buddy whose son plays for UCLA. And I was like, I know nothing about men's college volleyball. They finally got to an 8-team tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 59 Division I programs, and most of them from schools you've never heard of.
Wow.
But GCU had a great year. They were the 2 seed going into this. There you go. There's your splash for Trace DeMaio. Friday, May 3rd. Coming up next, man, the fallout and reaction continues from the Suns' bizarre press conference a couple days ago. We'll get into more of that reaction next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on this Friday. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. What are the biggest questions that need answering regarding the Phoenix Suns? Like, should their PA announcer be back? Or is it time for him to retire, be traded? How much blame does he bear for the Suns getting swept out of the first round? Join us on a Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, starting at straight up 2 o'clock.
You know, we won 49 games. Think about it. The first 30 games, we didn't really have Brad. I think we played 40 games with our starting five together. You know, man, if we played 50 with it, do we win 5 more games? And are we all of a sudden a 1 seed? Right? Like, it's not like we're like inches away from where we need to be, right? And now, by the way, on the flip side, we're inches away with other injuries. We could have lost some more games, right? Like, so it's very touch and go all the time. So we have to put our team in position to be successful. And as the owner, my job is to work for the fans and deliver the best team possible.
It's Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, from his press conference a couple days ago at Footprint Center. Let me just say this. Well done, Gambo. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, so is this point that the Murata black cloud is dooming the Phoenix Suns?
Maybe. Have you been talking to Gambo? Are you a source of Gambo, Jared Carlin?
No, the only sauce I like is spaghetti sauce.
Spaghetti sauce?
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. I was sort of previewed that he did something like this.
I got a heads up that they I guess talked about it at the end of their show yesterday, that was going to be the look.
That's funny.
So I get to hear that all morning.
That's funny. Good. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're listening over the weekend or the rest of the day, a preview perhaps, maybe Vince, you fire back on your look ahead.
Yeah, and speaking of basketball and game ops at the Suns game, I've heard from a few people about just the decibel level in the last Suns home game, that it was just absurd. I would, and again, I really fear talking. Yeah, I really I really fear talking about this because you know how people react. Old man.
Stuff over the PA, like music and stuff.
Yeah, nothing to do with Vinny.
I thought you meant the crowd.
The onslaught.
It's relentless. And I don't know whose idea with these defense chants, with the fake noise. No bueno in my book.
Those now feature me too, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just telling you. I think they've jumped the proverbial shark with that. I think they just get off 11. Bring it back down to 10. That's all I have to say.
Or at Spinal Tap levels.
Right. That's exactly. That's what I have to say.
Duly noted. I've got no pull, so it just basically dies here.
I think you do a spectacular job. You know, very professional. Yes. But there's just some stuff that I just wish wasn't part of the game day. And it isn't just unique to here.
No, yeah. That's true in a lot of arenas and stadiums.
Right. Yeah.
Since we're on it, real
flashing
quick.
Flashing lights, loud noises.
You know what else I noticed?
It's just relentless. It's endless.
Who are you, Steve Kerr?
He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong.
It is loud. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed about the Suns fan base? They really don't like the blah, blah, blah for 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
When the Suns are losing.
Oh.
When they're winning, I never hear from anybody.
Yeah. But when, yeah.
Going into game 3, they're down 0-2. It's looking bleak. And a guy stopped me in the arena. He's like, Vinny. Love what you do,
but
we've
got to
kill that 1, 2, 3 thing.
I'm like,
on the opposite. We need to do that 25 times tonight.
That's true. I have hated that from day one. Like last night, the PA guy, when Buddy Hield made a big three, he just went, Buddy! And I'm like, that's cool. Just instead of doing the formulaic, just let the PA guy flex his personality.
Let him cook?
Let him cook. Let Vinny cook. Memo to Vinny's bosses. Let Vinny cook.
Yeah, memo.
Quit handing him things to read. Just let him.
Those bosses might hear this and go, let Vinny go. Gambo might be onto something.
Gambo might be right. The black cloud that follows you around, I pay attention to that.
The Suns have not won an NBA championship since Vince has been there.
Yeah, that's true.
They have not. They have not.
You're onto something. You really are.
It's funny.
I really need to take this weekend to ponder my future.
I wonder what made Gambo decide to poke you like that, though. That the why of it is almost as funny as the actual end product.
Have you listened to that show? They got nothing else.
Well, I love it. I wish I think the shows would give more like back and forth like that. We're about the only ones that really do that.
And I've been saying this for years. I make fun of everybody. And I encourage everybody to make fun of me. Make fun of us.
Leave me out of
just right there.
Sarah's exempt, but everybody else is
okay. Don't make fun of Sarah, but make fun. Yeah,
I'll make fun of you though.
The three of us, we're fair game.
All right. So the main theme of Matt
defense. Defense.
That was the main theme of the press conference. You're right. Defensive.
Getting defensive. But it struck a very optimistic, positive tone. And, obviously it was right in our backyard, so we had a lot of reaction. Everything takes a day usually to get to the national masses, but they responded to it as well. And here's a sampling of some of the reaction of that press conference.
He was talking about the starting five coming back and what they were going to do and what they were capable of. And I just wanted to say that it was one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard from an owner in the NBA. What the hell was he watching? Not to mention the timing couldn't be more awful. Really, literally, you just got swept, okay? And those are the words. I mean, that's really, really enthusiastic to say to a fan base, hey, come on back. Come on and support us. We just got swept, but we ain't changing anything. Everything's going to be just fine. We just got swept, but we're going to be all right. That's just dumb. I'm not saying he's dumb. Of course not. He's probably a very brilliant man, but that was a very idiotic statement on his part.
Look, that's Stephen A. Smith from ESPN. I've talked to a lot of people. I've been contacted by a lot of people in the days following that press conference, and the reaction is all pretty similar to what Stephen A. Smith said.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, like what I said before, the joke about Burns and Gambo, it was just a joke. But we're talking about, and when that press conference happened on Wednesday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday's show, we're speculating, because Gambo had said, it's not going to be about Frank Vogel.
Right.
It's going to be other things that are discussed and kind of a clearing of the air, if you will. We were wondering what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of prefaced it. And I said, well, we know this. Matt Ishbia is not a patient man. He has not operated as an NBA owner with patience.
Mm-hmm.
And fans loved it initially. So you act that way. You make these trades that alter your future and obviously altered this season. You fall short of your goal. You don't win a playoff game. But then the theme becomes patience.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Bernsey talking about that yesterday. And look, Suns fans are patient. 56 years without a championship will test your patience.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime the Suns, and this is where Bernsey, I was driving around going, wow, this is a brilliant point. When the Suns have been good and championship quality in the history of this franchise,
mm-hmm.
it's not like they had to be patient when teams were formed. The Charles Barkley era, the Steve Nash era, and the championship team when Chris Paul got to town came together in a flash.
It was like a microburst. It's an excellent point, and you wonder, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that all our flirts with immortality and greatness were all just bolts of lightning? That we caught in bottles? What does it exactly mean? I want to get back in more into this as the day unfolds, because we're going to be very, very Sun-centric today. But it's whether or not you can feel optimistic about this core group, this is really a fundamental question that some people seem to have wildly varying opinions on. There are people who are, oh, it's not that bad, all this doom and gloom. You look at some of the numbers from this Timberwolves series, man, and it's frightening. The analytics of points per 100 possessions allowed and what they scored and how they were shut down. And at the very least, the words of the owner really were tone deaf. It was not at all reassuring.
Yeah.
And that's what he wanted it to be. And you're right. It's for a guy who has been so aggressive, right? Who cannot say a sentence without meandering off into seven different subjects. It's true. But the fact that he's asking for patience, you're right, that's quite the change.
Doug Haller's first line of his piece on The Athletic: Matt Ishbia talks so fast it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Hey, be listening all day today for your chance to win tickets to see the D-backs face off against the San Diego Padres this weekend. Just listen for the sounder all day. When you hear that sounder, call in for your chance to win. You could be headed to the fireworks show tonight, the Gabby Moreno bobblehead game tomorrow, or Sunday fun day Chase Field with the D-backs. We'll be listening all day. Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals and a lot of other people appear very, very optimistic about their draft class and how it'll affect things moving forward. We'll get into that a little bit more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
I actually met Michael Carter 2 months ago when he had this little 707 team in Tampa, and I was training in Tampa. And once we met, like, man, he's one of the most, he always smiling. I've been around him 2 days straight. He was just always smiling and stuff. And, you know, we clicked instantly. And I knew we made him met for a reason. And this is the reason why. And James Conner reached out to me after I got drafted. And he just said, just be ready to go to work, you know. And, I got much respect for him because I played with him on Madden a lot. I used the Cardinals in Madden a lot these past 3 years, so that's the crazy thing about it.
It's Trey Benson, third-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals, on with Burns and Gambo yesterday. I will say this about the Cardinals draft class. It's getting a lot of kudos from a football standpoint. And, man, these guys got a lot of personality,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so maybe this is Monty Ossenfort's secret sauce. Maybe it's not only getting guys that like the violence, but guys that have that life to them, that effervescence to them.
Yeah, we've had two members of the draft class on, enjoyed both of those conversations.
Yeah.
Tip Ryman is a character. He was on with Burns and Gambo. So playing with the Cardinals on Madden, how successful has Trey Benson been with that?
Kyler Murray, if he's fast, so I run with him a lot. I'm in trouble, you know, blitzing-wise.
Okay. All right, so were you able to win a lot of games in Madden using Kyler Murray?
I won a lot of games. I won a lot of games using Kyler Murray a lot, like, so many games.
I love it. And now there's like a inter-division rivalry with, you know, Trey Benson coming from Florida State. Jared Verse, finally a first-round pick of the Los Angeles Rams from Florida State.
Yeah.
And these guys are going back and forth, yeah, now.
The last thing, every time I hear Jared Verse's name, I cannot stop thinking of Jared's song parodies. And it's like, Jared, no Verse. Jared, refrain from Verse.
One too many Verse.
Yeah, well, listen.
You pointed out earlier that it's a perfect name for me because I sometimes say Verse instead of Verses.
Yes, that too. It's yeah, right.
If you ever slip and call Jared Verses, I'm going to lose my mind.
That would be fun.
So the Cardinals do a great job of this on a yearly basis of showcasing their draft picks, making them available through us and through the media to kind of get little glimpses into who they are. And I'm with you. Every last one of these dudes that I have heard from so far this year, I'm like, there's a lot of life. There's a lot of personality to this kid. Did you see that guy who went viral for his interview with NFL Types when they asked him? I should have his name.
Keon Coleman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We played Keon Coleman in Hardware on Monday.
Yeah.
And they asked, so he's in his meeting. This is at the Combine. And he ended up getting picked by the Buffalo Bills, but they had the footage of it, so they decided to release it. And he sits down and, you know, they're doing all the basics and they're asking, Keon Coleman, what do you do off the field? He's like, I chill at home. I, you know, bowl a little bit. I golf. And they said, oh, yeah, you golf? And he's like, oh, I I don't want to mess it up. Tiger, I'm not Tiger Woods.
I'm Tiger Wish I Could.
Wish I Could. That was it.
I'm not Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Wish I Could. I thought it was fantastic.
He's already one of the biggest stars in the league from this draft class,
right,
just because of his interview.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think that is there a correlation? I mean, to getting, because generally, you know, there's football players who are mean and grumpy. You remember Larry Allen, mm-hmm. one of the meanest offensive linemen? And mean enough where real legitimate NFL players did not want any part of him.
I wonder how much personality affects football on such a team with such a big roster and stuff like that. Because we talk about, especially with the Diamondbacks and with the Suns mm-hmm. over the last several years, the need for like that personality and mm-hmm. energy and chemistry and stuff like that, and how certain teams over the last few years have been lacking that tremendously.
Yeah.
In football, is that another thing?
Do you
have to be more serious and violent in that sport?
I don't know. The commonality, though, of so far of this Cardinal draft class is these kids are all kind of, they all got some bounce to them.
Yeah. I will say this, though. You know, personal experience. And over the years, the Cardinals have been very, very generous with access, especially when we were doing the midday show, when we were out at OTAs, mm-hmm. we're there every Monday. Getting to know a lot of the players over the years, mm-hmm. there's so many good guys in the game of football. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. And so I've been very enthused. I think the Cardinals roster is starting to shape up. If they get a really good hit rate on some of these rookies, and it's amazing to the point where you got to step back and just make yourself get back into reality a little bit here. We are all assuming that Marvin Harrison Jr. can seamlessly become an NFL team's number one wide receiver out of the get-gate. That's not an easy thing to do. And I know he might be a unicorn, and I know that he's been preparing for this, and I know he's got a father who achieved success in the NFL at its highest level. So I like his odds. But we're also counting on a rookie not only to be starting, but to be WR1. That's a big ask. I'm comfortable with who they're asking to do it, but I just think that we have to kind of contextualize what's happening here. When we hear nothing but just wild optimism about this draft class, how Trey Benson was this guy's number two rated running back, and the Cardinals got him way down here, and about how you got these kids from Illinois, and man, this is really, as Wolf says, this is a statement of intent. We're coming to kick your face in. Okay, all this is all well and good, but it's hopium. Is what it is.
I do like that. but let me frame it this way on Marvin Harrison Jr. specifically. Mm-hmm. I like the way you presented that. There's a level of caution with what you said. But if you spin it and say, would you be shocked if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not an absolute stud at the NFL level? I would.
I would be shocked, yes.
I just think he's
different.
He's made for this.
And you know what I believe? I believe that greatness declares itself very early. It's not something that comes in year four, year five. If you are truly going to be that dude, we'll know very early on. You mm-hmm. kind of saw it with Kyler early on.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, here's that. Can I play that exchange with Keon Coleman?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What do you do outside of football?
Chill at the house, golf, bowl a little bit.
You golf?
I ain't no golf. I'm Tiger Wish he could. I'm not Tiger Woods. I wish I could put and do all that. Them boys out there shooting 5 under. I ain't doing all that. I'm my TV 5 just to put it in. But I'm gonna go have fun. Like, you know, it's controlled chaos. You know, you frustrated, but you can't get mad. Pull a muscle in your back trying to hit the ball. So it forces me to stay calm and just swing. Just have some fun.
Isn't that fantastic?
He seems like such a great personality.
You see the video, though. They the contingent of the Bills legitimately was just cracking up like they were at a stand-up show.
Well, and
he doesn't even miss a beat. It's not like he pauses for reaction. Oh,
you saw the whole thing with him in the Macy's.
Yeah, we had played that on Monday. Yeah.
Right.
He's so likable. I hope he has a good career.
Mm-hmm.
Because a great personality can only take you so far, but he could actually be a big star if he turns out.
His podcast is going to be huge.
Wow.
Coming up next, the Diamondbacks have already supplied a season's worth of weirdness, and it's only May. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
We welcome you back to Chase Field. We are about to read you the starting lineups in a moment, but there is a swarm of bees that have formed at the very top of the netting directly behind home plate. It looks to be a swarm of several hundred bees right now gathered around one of the cables that sort of holds the very top. I did not see the umpire if any sort of signal has been issued.
Well, no.
That was some of the weirdness this week. Some of the weirdness this season for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they get a day off, hopefully to reset.
Yeah.
Maybe to light a fuse. Not great news yesterday on the Merrill Kelly front, shifted to the 60-day injured list, as we kind of expected based on what Torrey Lovello and Diamondbacks brass was saying about that injury. But let's start there. That's part of the weirdness right now is everybody, and I mean everybody, excuse me, that was very pumped up about this Diamondbacks season, coming in as the defending National League champions, and then bolstering your starting pitching rotation. Gallen, Kelly, Fott, Montgomery, Rodriguez, we haven't seen those guys together yet. And one of them we haven't seen pitch at all yet in Eduardo Rodriguez.
No, exactly. So I am really, again, we all look for mileposts in a baseball season, times, pivot points. I'm really hoping that this weekend now against a less formidable foe, that this weekend can maybe be the weekend when the Diamondbacks start to get well. Mm-hmm. And literally, figuratively, every single possible way. You talk about the weirdness of the season. I'll read you a stat from The Athletic from Jason Stark that shows just how weird this baseball season has been, particularly for the Diamondbacks. So on April 18th, the Diamondbacks got hits off Logan Webb from the first two hitters of the game, then got zero hits from the next 19 guys who came to the plate. One hit from the last 28, by the way. The next day on April 19th, they got 22 hits in a game started by Blake Snell, the reigning Cy Young Award winner. And to put that in context, only two other teams in the last 50 years, according to stats, have made at least 18 consecutive outs one game, then had at least 22 hits the very next game. You talk about the yin and the yang, the teeter-totter. Mm-hmm. Those two games back-to-back show you the range of weirdness. Then, on top of it, we've got a beekeeper who just signed a deal with Topps, who has his own baseball card.
And as of last night, it sold like 16,000 of them. But you want more of the offensive weirdness?
Yeah.
So right now, going into Friday's action, the Arizona Diamondbacks are fourth in Major League Baseball with 162 runs scored, only behind the Dodgers, Orioles, and the Padres, who they play tonight. 34% of their runs have come in four games.
Wow.
Think about that. 16-1 on opening night against the Rockies.
Right.
A 12-11 win against the Cubs on April 16th. A few nights later, they beat the Giants 17-1. Then they beat the Cardinals 14-1. If you take away those four games, which you can't do, but for purposes of illustrating just how strange this is, take away those games, they would drop from fourth in Major League Baseball all the way down to 26th in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
Their team batting average right now is .249. If you remove those four, it's .225. Which, again, would be near the
25 points off their average.
That's how big those explosions have been. Their run differential, and I saw a piece that was talking about analytics and, you know, what teams have been disappointments, and the Diamondbacks fell on that list, but they pointed, well, their run differential suggests that they should be a much better team. No, it doesn't. Their run differential is solely determined by three games, the three of the four that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So it's really that their run differential is not at all a true barometer of what type of team this has been through 32 games.
Their offensive stats are very, very deceiving. This is more of a baseball team that underperforms, gets really pissed off, knocks the cover off the ball, has themselves a historic night, and then goes back to sleep for a week. That's been and that's what you're saying. When you get four outlying games like that, look at the effect that they have at painting a picture of a baseball team that's not exactly accurate.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Diamondbacks needed to kind of embrace this weirdness of this beekeeper. You know, have you seen what's going on with the Twins?
No.
Okay, so the Minnesota Twins Kyle Farmer does an endorsement deal with like a cured meats company, and they sent him a summer sausage. And he didn't want it, so he left it on a table in the clubhouse. Now it's become a touchstone for the baseball team. They put it in a Ziploc bag. They take it into the dugout. Every hitter touches the sausage. What are you looking at me like that for, Jarrett? Every hitter touches the sausage before every at bat, and they've been on a bender ever since.
Print up the t-shirts. Touch the sausage. It's not too late to Sarah get that knows into what the I'm montage. Talking
about. Sarah knows the story.
Why are you looking at me?
Believe me.
So,
but I do, yes.
So the Minnesota Twins are now rallying around a hunk of summer sausage. Which is something to rally around.
We all know, though, there's no sport more superstitious than baseball.
No.
So if they could, if anything ever, you know, happens during a winning streak or something, or a hot streak hitting, it will be repeated and you know, mythologized. So why not? Yeah. Look, so what are you saying? That's get some bees during...
I don't know.
He's calling it the summer of sausage.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Something about honey. Something that's not dangerous to anybody that can affect and keep the theme going.
But, yeah.
Because the D-backs won the bee game, but they didn't follow it up. This goes all the way back to the New York Knights and the Natural. Remember when they put the lightning bolt patch on the sleeve?
That's right.
Because of Roy Hobbs'
bat? Yeah.
Look what happened to them. Completely turned around their season.
Right. Maybe you get a colony of bees, put in the dugout, and put your hand in there before you... No, that's probably not a good idea.
Put a bee patch on your hat.
There you go. That's it. They'll create a lot of buzz.
I'm sorry. Take inspiration from me and put B. Arthur on your patch.
Oh, Jared.
How's that voting going?
How's that work out for you? Mr. A worm is an insect?
Your nephew voted for you.
According to... We have a poll up right now on Bickley_Murata. Is a worm a bug? And it is 400 votes in. And yeah. It's very close to voting, so stay tuned.
But, Jared, it can't be close voting because a worm is not a bug. We just let you have that.
This is the dumbest debate on
the really
show.
It really is.
Does Jared rhyme with ferret?
There was also are birds real this week?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so we're really killing
to
it.
To answer your question, I'm winning Mock My World right now. So thanks.
Are you kidding me?
So are you really?
www.thanks.com.
It's all based on the Spider-Man pick. By the way, on the offensive thing, too, I'm not pinning the offensive struggles on one player, nor am I suggesting that one player fixes all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at Corbin Carroll, who's had a very disappointing follow-up to a Rookie of the Year season. He knows it. The organization knows it. The fan base certainly knows it. It looks like it's starting to come around. In fact, Torrey Lovello said this earlier this week.
I think his day one was a couple days ago, to be honest with you. You know, when you're talking about day one, when it starts to move that way, I got a good feeling from just watching him pass on pitches that he might be swinging at. Good rhythm to his swing, some really near misses. And then today's at bat was pretty impressive. This last at bat, stayed on a two strike backdoor breaking ball, and hit a 100 mile an hour line drive left center field. That was a pretty impressive bat. So yeah, I thought his day one was a couple days ago. I think the storm's coming.
It's not just about hitting; it's about having Corbin Carroll on base and him being the ringleader of the chaos that we saw in 2023.
Yes,
that we haven't seen. The Diamondbacks are 20th in Major League Baseball in stolen bases right now.
And
that is not the way they want to play.
No, and you're right. And it's more than just what numbers Corbin Carroll puts up. It's the vibe that when he does what he does. You ever see him go from first to third, Jarrett? You ever see that face he makes?
Not in a long time, I can tell you that much. I almost forgot what it looks like. It's been so long.
It's that element of chaos when he's going good and going to first to third, grimacing the whole way.
Man, you look like you're about to poop your pants.
It gives the team an identity. We've been talking about teams and identity a lot lately. It's very important he gets going. And I do agree with Torrey Lovello that if he really is ready to bust out, it's going to be I'm sure it's going to be something spectacular. Because if he's truly a great player and he gave indications last year that he's going to be, the clap back from struggling this long is going to be as as riveting as the first part was disappointing.
Yep, I agree. Leo Vargas is going to be at the ballpark this weekend.
Leo
was caller number 6, got tickets to D-backs Padres. We've got 3 more pairs of tickets to give away before the end of the show. Be listening for the sounder and all day here on Arizona Sports. Coming up next, maximizing Kevin Durant. Another topic of discussion.
Uh-oh.
What exactly does that mean? We'll get into it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on this Friday. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.